Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Not that I'm going to be preaching exactly from this verse, but I just want to read it as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which he also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. This morning we have the privilege of coming, and to partake of the Lord's Supper, to prepare our hearts for the communion. I want to focus on the importance of the Lord's Supper. Jesus himself said, and we had what we read, part of what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said what it is and what it should be done. And we look at this and we know it is the promise that Christ gave to us. We are not saved by his life alone, dear people. Sometimes we look at what Jesus had done and we take his life and all that he's done for us, even as he prepared to go to the cross. But we are not saved by the life alone of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he did not die, there would be no salvation. It's in his death that the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. It is in his death that we look to and we see what has been done. This is the very importance, because it is the finished work of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death completed all that the Father gave him to do. And it was in his death that he died in our place. This is very important, and we should see that the salvation work is all completed when Jesus Christ died. No death, no salvation. This important truth is what makes the Lord's Supper so important to us, and why Jesus said, Do this in remembrance of me. There are a few points I want to make to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. First of all, the Lord's Supper is a memorial celebration. The Lord's Supper is a memorial celebration. In the Old Testament, the Passover was a perpetual celebration for the Jews when God even brought them out of the land of Egypt. He told them that there would be a Passover, which will be a perpetual Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, in verses 11 to 14, 24 to 27, he told us what he wanted them to do. Now, you know the story. There they were down in Egypt. And God himself said that he was going to deliver them. He could deliver them with an outstretched arm, bring them out. And it was what he told them to do. They were to take a lamb, each household, and they take the lamb and roast it and eat it. And he told them the eating of the lamb, this would be the Passover. In other words, he's saying he was going to pass over them as he would kill the firstborn in Egypt. And so he told them, take the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, put it on the post and the lintels of the door, and when the death angel would come, it would pass over him. This is the very picture that we see in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the same idea is put there in the Lord's Supper. The New Testament celebration of the church's redemption, which is what Christ Jesus himself did. He was our Passover, accomplishing for us when he died on the cross for our sins as our sacrifice. Therefore, the church looks back to the historical event of Christ's death on the cross and remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he's done. I read to you 1 Corinthians 11:24. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he proclaims in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, which is Christ's sacrificial death for the church. We have the preparation before them, the elements, the bread and the cup, and they're here to remind us of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The physical deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt was a reality to all those that left the city in that particular time. The torment that they went under and all that they had to gone through in that life, it was all over and they were heading to a promised land. Our Passover, which is the Jesus Christ, and deliverance from our city of torment under the ravages of sin in the hand of the devil to do what he wants and whoever he wants to when he can. We have been delivered from that. And we are now journeying to a land promised as just as real as they were going to go out of Egypt and into a land that he was going to show them. So we ourselves, when we come, we are thinking what we have gone through. The Lord want us to see and understand that we have been taken out of a life of sin under the oppression of the devil and under him who destroyed our lives anytime he felt like it and causing us to commit all kinds of sins. We can see and understand this. All you have to do is look at the world around us. Those who are unconverted and how they live, we're becoming more and more amazed at how horrible people can be, what sins can be created by people. Brethren, we were there once, and this is what we have done. Now, the elements themselves, they are very important to us. Bread and wine, we are told. They are symbols of what is going and what is taking place and what our minds are to be focused upon when we take these elements. Bread, as a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ, suggests his life itself, or life itself is being seen in that bread. The breaking of the bread symbolized the breaking of Jesus' life as a sacrifice. Wine, a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ, suggests the pouring out of Jesus' life by bruising by the divine wrath of God himself. The significance of Christ's death lies in the fact that this is a memorial feast. The Lord's Supper indicates the inward spiritual impact of the grace of God displayed in the death of his Son. As the Christian receives the elements, he submits to receiving afresh the merits of Christ's death. Then he acknowledges again that his salvation is due to the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, which causes him to renew his obedience to Jesus' will, saying, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Therefore, first place, let us remember here that the Lord's Supper is a memorial celebration. It's a memorial. We do this and we celebrate what Christ has done in dying on our behalf. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is an eternal foretaste. As the church looks back to the history, the historical reality of Jesus Christ's death, the Lord's Supper also looks forward to the coming of the eternal kingdom. Jesus clearly links the Lord's Supper with the future prospects of the kingdom of God when he informed his disciples that he would eat not eat, excuse me, he would eat the Passover again with them until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God, Luke 22 and 16. He then said, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes, in verse 18. Also, Paul said what we read this morning, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper is given to the church to fill our hearts with the blessed return of the Lord and to increase our hope of the glory of God filling the whole world. One day when Christ comes back, all the wickedness and the devil's hold upon mankind will be gone because there'll be new heavens and a new earth. The Christian also anticipates the heavenly bliss with Jesus Christ returns, and the church, his perfect bride, will sit down with all the saints of old in the kingdom of heaven at the glorious supper of the Lamb and drink anew with Christ in heaven. Matthew 26 and 19 says, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Revelation 19 and 9, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Christian has a blessed hope of the return of Christ Jesus. He lives each day in the joy of accomplishing the blessing from the words coming from Christ, well done. At the return of Jesus Christ, we will find ourselves looking to him and finding all the joy which will fill our hearts because of what we have gone through, delivered out of that whole world in the past and now in his presence. Because of this great hope, dear people, the world becomes more and more displeasing to him, the Christian, that is, displeasing to us. And we long to be with Christ Jesus. Is that your desire right now? To be with Jesus, to see him, to be in that glorious state, for all the things of this world will be put off. Just think about it. As one says, no more crying and no more dying. We will be with him forever. As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That sounds kind of foolish for the people of our day. Oh, I'll be glad to die. Who says that? Well, the only one says that is the Christian. But not that he's saying he wants to die right now. He wants to fulfill his life as well much as he can. But he's saying he looks to that day when he or she would leave this earth and go to be with Jesus Christ. The believer longs to hear the word, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Well, the words of Matthew 25 and 31, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, dear brethren, the Lord's Supper is an eternal foretaste. And we live each day with the expectancy of an eternal life in the presence of the blessed Savior who died in our place. So we come to the Lord's Supper with an expectation, and that is to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to commune with him at the Supper of Remembrance. But thirdly, the Supper is a means of grace. It's a means of grace. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we commune by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Slain body, that's what we think of. We commune by grace with him, with his slain body and blood, which were offered up for us in his death when he was sacrificed for our sins. When he fed the 5,000, he told them that there was a bread that they needed, which was his body. John 6 and 50, I am the living bread. that come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for his the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus made it clear, and he told them in John chapter 6, all that they have to do. There's no salvation if no one comes to the Savior himself. There's no salvation if there was no one that would come and see and understand what Jesus Christ himself has done. And he says he is that bread. When we come to the table, we have focused upon our mind the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his, and what he's done and how he has died in our place. By the taking of the elements, we experience spiritual nourishment, growth in grace, and renewal of thanksgiving and spiritual and great engagement with God the Father. Dear people, this is not just a ritual we go through. It's not something that man has given us. It is not something that most parts of the church itself has even failed to understand the truth of it. They think that you do this little thing, and once you did it, something magical has happened to you. No, what has happened to us is happened to us by grace. And that grace has come to us, and we stand as men, women, boys and girls of faith because of Christ and what he has done. This means that the Lord's Supper envisions more than just a mental picture of Jesus Christ's death on our minds. It goes beyond that, much deeper than that. We're not just to think and look at him, and as far as it goes is what we think. It is a renewed capturing of the spiritual benefits of Christ Jesus. Redemption he brought to us, represented in the elements of the Lord's Supper. All this before us tells us now, look once again at all that God has done for you, what he has given to you, how you have changed, how your body is no longer what it used to be. You strive now to keep away from sin. You fight those things because of what he has done. And God supplies grace to our hearts when we are obedient, taking the Lord's Supper. Fourthly, the Lord's Supper is a demanding ordinance. A demanding ordinance. But as we come to the Lord's table, there are demands put upon us as we come. Notice in you got 1 Corinthians there. Notice in verse 27 of that 11th chapter. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And then he says, for this reason, many are sick and weak, and some even sleep. But he says what we ought to do in verse 28, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It is a demand put upon us, dear people. We, as we come to the Lord's table, we are demanded to take to heart, think about what is taking place. If this is the very representation of Christ's body and Christ's blood, and that his death upon the tree, can we come flippantly and say, well, I'm just taking the Lord's Supper. I'm doing this because this is a part of the Christian religion, or are we doing it as those who are truly coming to Christ? When taking the Lord's Supper, we must do so, first of all, with love to Christ. How would you feel if there was someone in your family or some friend or something, and that person did something to help you out? Let's think of the horrible sin that goes on in the world today. Someone coming and they go and they'll kill anybody at the drop of a hat. Suppose you were going down the street and someone was getting ready to kill you, and a friend came up and stopped that. And basically, and he died in that act. How would you or I feel? We would do all we can to remember that person and how he showed his love to us. Well, why not love to Christ? You see, we can't come and take the Lord's Supper without once again coming up to our hearts again. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because of what he has done for us. We love him because he died on our behalf. And we love him as Christians because he continued to impart such grace to us. But not only that, when we come with faith and repentance. We come with faith, knowing that we ourselves trust in him alone. These are the demands that the Lord's Supper bring to us. And we come with repentance. You heard in our first prayer this morning, pleading that God receive us and forgive us for any sins that we have committed, even throughout the past week. And oh, brethren, we know we will not go through this life without committing sin. We have sinned probably yesterday. We will sin this week. But God forgives us. How does he forgive us? He forgives us in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come again looking at all that we have done in the past week and looking at what we have done in our lives. And we repent even freshly right now. But there is the demands of also obedience to the word of God. Jesus is the one who taught us clearly in Matthew's gospel, if you read through it, all the things that he implies that we must do and how we must live. He said, I didn't come to fulfill, to abrogate the law, to put it aside, but to fulfill it. The whole law is fulfilled in me, is what he's saying. I am the one now I bring to you. Now you have to do and follow along with me. Brethren, this is not so much of us to keep reading and saying, I got to do this, 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 and the other thing. But our hearts are flooded and saying, Lord Jesus, what will you have me to do? And this is how we come, this demanding ordinance. We come to receive the spiritual food also. And we know that we recognize the sufficiency of the elements. Remember, this is a taking of the Lord's Supper. And this is now we've received grace and power once again to continue on with the Lord Jesus Christ. But finally, the Lord's Supper is a vindicating truth. Vindicating truth. Oh, we go in the world today and some people say, well, I don't believe in that Jesus. I don't believe in knowing that. I don't want to have nothing to do with religion. We say, well, okay, that's fine with you. But the Lord's Supper vindicates the truth of the Bible and the truth of what Jesus Christ said. The Lord's Supper, by all that is displayed, stands as a vindicating proof that the evangelical teaching of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as that substitutionary sacrifice for sin is true. The biblical view of Christ Jesus, it is the truth, nothing else but the truth. Jesus put it this way. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he's saying, as we come to this, we say, this is the very thing. The Lord's Supper, dear people, is a preaching that speaks of the life of death and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time we commune at the table, we see the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking at the sacrifice, the sacrificial death of our Lord, not because he did it to have some kind of great thing to tell the world. No, he died on our behalf. He died so that we may live. Away with this stuff that Jesus was a good man and everybody who kind of follow after him some kind of way, they have some connection with him. What kind of connection? They don't even know, but there's some kind of connection. No, he died because he came to have us, give us new life and that we will live for all eternity. And that makes it a substitutionary atonement, dear people. Oh, which one of us could even stand to die in the place, stand before God, and he says to us, into outer darkness, you who are sinners, there's no way I can receive you. But that would not be the thing that we would hear. He would say, into the presence and the joy of the Almighty, because my son died for you. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful thing. Substitutionary death. So when we come and we have the emblems here, you take the bread and the cup, we are saying again, we rely upon only one thing, and that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The assurance of his final return also is here, we see. It's a validation of that. Jesus said, this is what we should do. We must take it until he comes. He said in the upper room, he will no longer drink of the cup again until he's in a kingdom with you and I anew. What a wonderful truth. We look forward to this. Do you, when you take the Lord's Supper, you're saying to yourself, or you should bring to our minds, there's going to be one day Christ will have it. We'll take that in his presence. Now, it might be figurative language is what he's saying, but the truth is we're going to sit down with him. Our precious Savior, wouldn't you like to see him? Oh, what a joy that's going to be. What a wonder. And no wonder Paul could say, you know, it would be more pleasant for him to be out of this world and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you thought that often? Have you thought to yourself, oh, Lord God, just to get rid of the body of this death, all the things that I'm going through, the pains, it'd be so wonderful to be with you. New body in heaven, there with Christ Jesus. And these truths, dear people, fill our hearts with the truth of the gospel and the death of Christ for us. We look at that. The only way we're going to see at the end of all that we're living for, it is going to be when we come with Jesus. But this is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let this bring your heart to remember all that I have died for. Let you look at your life and see all that you've been, what you were before you got saved, what you are right now, and how you're living by grace and by what the Holy Spirit gives you to strengthen you. Look at all that. Think about all that. And then think about being with me at the supper of the Lamb. And he says, what we ought to do here, people, we ought to rejoice in our souls over the day which is coming for us when we will be with our Savior. You see, these are what the things we should see when we come. The Lord's Supper has vindicated the truth of the gospel to us. And it tells us that. And every time we come to the Lord's Supper, we should say, here is now a new preaching of the gospel. But not with the Lord as a reading on the pages, but that he died and now is in heaven. Even saying to me right now, you will be with me here also. Oh, dear people, let us come to the Lord's Supper, expecting the promised blessing of Jesus Christ with us. Let us not shy back. Do all that even Paul tells us to do, and all that the Lord said us to do. Don't come and just take the Lord's Supper, the elements, flippantly. Take it with deep thought and thinking. And I will add the final thing to this, that as you think of this, think about what you're going to do after taking the Lord's Supper. What kind of life are you going to live? You remember now, when we take this, we're taking this in the presence of Christ. We're taking this in connection with Christ and saying that his blood and his body is what we hold on to, knowing that he died in our place. How are we going to walk in the week to come? Are we going to push it all aside and then go into the world and that sin which so easily beset us, we just say, okay, it's all right, I can just give thanks again? Or are we going to say, oh, I'm going to walk in newness of life. I'm going to be better this week than I was last week. I'm going to love Christ to the end. I'm going to push off these little things, little sins that come. And sometimes they just prop up so quickly, but I am going to get the hold of them. Because this supper here proves that there is a truth, there's a real gospel. Christ is the center of the gospel. Christ died for me, the sinner. I'm now with him, and I'm going to live for him. And the proof of that is when I take these elements, I'm going to be saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am with you, and I will live for you. Give me grace to do the same. Brother, let us come. Let us come to the table, expecting the promise of Jesus Christ to be blessed as we come to it. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, we thank you for the truth. Thank you for what we have in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, oh God. But we also know that our continual walk with him is a walk of grace, is a walk of strength, strength given to us by you, by the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us. Let us not leave this place, oh God, the same way we came in. As we come now to this very ordinance, let us take it seriously. And we pray, oh God, by your Spirit, may you bless our hearts, that we will be even newer tomorrow or even after this than we were yesterday. Help us to grow in grace by even taking the truth that is before us, taking it to our hearts and living in that truth. Hear and answer our prayer in Jesus' name.